Hello and welcome to another edition of the WCU Podcats Podcast. I'm Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Fraser, coming to you live from Cullowhee, North Carolina.
Patrick, we have settled into orientation season. Kids are coming and going. We're down three now. Just finished the third session today. And we've got three left.
So and they are all full on the freshman side.
Yeah, and they are all full, especially this coming session where we're going to have FYE and ASP programs come in. It is going to be bananas packed. I can see Tammy Haskett, like I can see a gray hair like starting to form just from this specific session.
Yeah, between both of the Tammys, really, you can see the gray slowly forming.
Yeah, so lots and lots of folks will be coming into campus. This past session that just left today had 325 participants come in. It was our largest session ever, and it'll hold that record for about 2 days.
Yeah, it was. We had 325 registered, 324 showed up, and then we had one walk in. Yep. To make it 325.
Yeah, unbelievable turnout. It just goes to show this will be our biggest class ever. It's going to be a fun fall to be in Cullowhee for sure. Unfortunately, as we usually start our show out with This Week at Western, however, the events calendar still kind of in limbo and not working quite the way we need it to get the events out to you. However, we do know that there is a movie tonight on the University Center lawn, and that will be, Patrick?
That will be, and I just lost it as you said that. It was, let's see here. Actually, I can't even find it on their events calendar now.
Miracles from Heaven.
Miracles from Heaven.
Yes,
there we go.
So that will be the movie on the UC lawn tonight. So if you're interested in Miracles from Heaven, make sure you check out the UC lawn. It's a free movie of the week. Of course, pending weather, if it rains, it'll be in the UC theater. Still free, though.
Yes, and don't forget, tomorrow we have the Wednesday Ice Cream Social, which is unfortunately open to the community because last week we got there at 1:15 and it runs until 2 and they were out of ice cream.
Yeah, they were. They got raided by children.
Yeah, they said they had a group of about 50 kids come through and wipe them out of ice cream.
Yeah, so if you want ice cream, make sure you get there early. But it's still one of the best ice cream deals in town. For a dollar, you get your ice cream and then a number of different toppings you can choose from to add on there. So check that out tomorrow at the University Center as well. And Patrick, that really will wrap up the week for us. The only other thing going on that we want to talk about is we'll be on the road this coming week. So the podcast may be a little delayed next week, because we have moved officially. Tuesdays are going to be our official release date now. And Patrick and I will be at the Georgia Bon Voyage event next Tuesday.
So we'll be at the Country Club of the South in Georgia for our annual Bon Voyage event for all the students that are enrolling this fall from the state of Georgia. So we're looking forward to that as always.
Absolutely. We get to see our good friend Bob Folsom out there, and it'll be a good time. So expect a delayed podcast next week. May not come out until Wednesday of next week. Or if we're super far in advance, then maybe we'll get it Monday. But from here on out, podcasts episodes will debut on Tuesday. You'll have to excuse me. Our executive producer is sitting in the corner and sneezed very loudly. If you heard that. This is Brittany's annual weekly shout out. So hello, Brittany. You get the attention now.
Speaking of getting the attention, that would be our guest for this week.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we get back, it is everyone's favorite Western Carolina University personality and staff member. Of course, we're talking about the yin to Veretta Pegram Floyd's yang from last week. Brian Boyer joining us today. Much anticipated, Patrick.
It is. He's only been mentioned once or twice on the podcast up until now.
Yeah. So we're excited that Brian has grabbed some time for us, and we'll be chatting with him about the residential case manager position, how he found Western, and much more right after this. Attention all Catamounts in Atlanta, Georgia. We're pleased to announce our first Bon Voyage event of the year is going to be taking place on Tuesday, June 28th at the Country Club of the South outside of Atlanta, Georgia. All accepted and deposited students for the class of 2020 in and around the Atlanta area can look forward to a postcard with more information inviting you to the event hosted by the Western Club of Georgia on Tuesday, June 28th at the Country Club of the South. For more information, please feel free to call the Office of Admission at 828-227-7317. And welcome back. Again, I'm Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Frazier.
And joining us this week is a very special guest, Brian Boyer. Welcome to the podcast, Brian.
Appreciate it. It's good to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you joining us today. Of course, me and you and Patrick go back quite a number of years. Really old, I guess.
Yeah, really long time. Yep.
But yeah, so let's start off just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Brian Boyer, and I'm one of the residential case managers. I think you heard from the other case manager from Residential Living last week, which is Veretta Pegram Floyd. So again, another shout out for Veretta. And this is the start of my 14th academic year at Western, so I have been here for a while.
You're leading Patrick by a couple. You're leading me by about 3 years.
Well, he's leading me in time worked at Western,
yes.
But we both started pretty much the same time.
Mm-hmm. I was I started out as a resident director in 2003, and Patrick was actually a student on the first floor, lived like two doors down from my apartment. So my first professional job was here at Western, and I was his RD, and he lived there all 4 years.
All 4 years right down the hallway from you.
Yep, absolutely.
And then, of course, I started in 04 and worked for Brian as an RA. Yeah, when you moved over to Scott, the first year that Western Carolina Peaks ever existed.
2007, yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely. First year of the Peaks program. Because this year is technically our tenth year, which is
wow,
pretty great.
Wow, that is bananas.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you were also my brother's RD, so kind of kept it in the family there, too. You had him, and then he also, I think, worked for you as a
RA. He did.
RA.
He did. Yep. Lots of connections.
Absolutely. So, Brian, tell us a little bit. Now, you transitioned from RD, and you were the first ever residential case manager here. And really, this position kind of just is in your wheelhouse. It was everything you loved about the RD position. And so tell us a little bit about kind of how the job kind of came to fruition, and then kind of how you've enjoyed kind of being in this new position that didn't exist before you kind of went into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty remarkable the way it kind of all, you know, played out. And I think you're right when, you know, you say essentially like it took all of my favorite aspects of being a resident director. And, you know, I get to focus on, you know, primarily those things. And basically the reason that the position was created, it's kind of a trend that we're seeing across the country now. I would say Western was a little bit ahead of the curve on that, but you're seeing case managers pop up everywhere. And essentially, you know, the resident directors, you're well aware, you used to be a resident director, Josh, mm-hmm. have a lot of responsibilities in terms of supervising their staff, programming for the building, discipline.
It's the reason I have all this gray hair.
No, right, exactly. Like, so a lot of responsibility. And, you know, basically at-risk students and, in trying to meet the needs of our students, you know, trying to make sure that we're giving them the most attention that we can and helping them be successful, that was taking more and more time away from the resident directors. And so this position was created to help kind of ease that. I mean, obviously the resident directors are still an excellent resource for the students, just like the RAs are. And so we kind of became this new layer of support for the students where, you know, we primarily try to focus on getting to know them, keeping them happy, keeping them on track, getting them connected on campus, connected with each other, and just make sure they're having the best possible experience they can have at Western.
Well, and you know, it's also a neat experience too for the students to have somebody that isn't necessarily an RA or an RD that they can also turn to for support outside of sort of the traditional scope of an academic advisor or an athletic coach in that matter to help them through that transition process.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique position kind of outside of your traditional kind of what you would think of kind of hierarchy for students where I feel like the way the job is laid out, it helps facilitate more trust and helps facilitate kind of more connection because it's kind of outside of that scope of the kind of traditional RD role and some of the like academic advisor role. So you kind of take bits and pieces from all that and then roll it into one more accessible package.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so and think so. And, you know, I mean, I definitely applaud, you know, I do think that Western has been ahead of the curve on a lot of things that we have, you know, that we've piloted and programmed. And, you know, this kind of came from, you know, like I said, from a need. And obviously, I guess somebody thinks that, you know, the job was working pretty well because then they added Veretta. And, I mean, I joke all the time. I mean, it's ridiculous to love your job as much as I do. I'm very, very fortunate. And, you know, continue to love what I do every day. And I appreciate, you know, Keith Corzine. You know, I have a little hero worship going with Keith Corzine.
If you know Keith Corzine, it's hard not to have a little hero worship.
Keith Corzine is the man, and he was a director of residential living at the time. Now he's our vice chancellor for campus services. I hope I got that correct.
I think you nailed it.
I think I got it. But yeah, you know, Keith kind of took a chance with this position, and you know, I think it's done pretty well since he you know kind of helped get it started.
Now, going from you, we talked to Veretta a lot, and you guys have a very kind of cool relationship, and you balance out each other well. Like I said, it's you guys almost provide. It's a very different. You do your job, which is the same, in very different ways, which is cool. And you guys kind of again meet the students. I think almost every student can be served by one of the two of you, based on your style. So tell us a little bit about how what it's been like, kind of adding Veretta as the second case manager. She told us it was 3 years ago, which is hard to believe. It's been long. But and so now we've kind of had you guys rolling together for quite a while now. And how did that change from when you first started as the residential case manager to now?
Well, what's funny is if you just heard my phone go off because I didn't silence it, that was actually Veretta texting me about something work-related. So I have silenced it now. Sorry about that. It's been great just to have you know, I felt like I was kind of floating, like I was the only case manager, and so mm-hmm. I was kind of out there floating, and it's just really nice to have, you know, somebody else that's doing, you know, the same work that I am, and we just play off of each other so well, and mm-hmm. I think that we have, you know, different strengths, and I just think we balance each other out so well, and some of the things that I'm passionate about, she's not necessarily as passionate about, and vice versa, and so I think that allows us to really kind of cover most of our bases when it comes to, you know, student populations and, you know, really making sure that we are both doing everything that we can to make sure that we are, you know, reaching out to as many students as possible. And again, it's, we just have a very honest working relationship. It's
work spouse.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it's very humorous. I've said before, like, I think they could do a reality show, just the two of us in our office. I would watch that. The banter back and forth. I mean, just...
They could do their own podcast version.
Yeah, TV 62.
It's out of control. But yeah, she's been such an excellent addition. And, you know, she's really kind of, you know, challenged me to step up my game. And I think that we bring out the best in each other. And ultimately, I think that's what you really want from a coworker, is somebody that kind of challenges you to be your best and... you know, can bring out the best in you ultimately.
Absolutely.
Well, and you've also gotten to do some neat experiences for the students with that. I know one in particular, you took a group of international students to a NASCAR race.
Yes, that was extremely interesting. There was a group of, I want to say it was 14, and we, you know, kind of facilitated a NASCAR race, and it was just so incredibly funny, you know, to watch their reactions. It was just like total culture shock the entire time.
Yeah,
and I mean,
absolutely.
You know, if you know NASCAR, you know, they start out and they're doing the pace laps, and I lean over and ask one of the international students, "What do you think?" And she was like, "It's awesome. I thought they would be going faster." And I was like, "Well, they haven't started yet." She was like, "Oh, okay." I mean,
No
clue. Like, but it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, what are some other things you have got to do kind of through your position that you've had a lot of fun with or is kind of unique to students at Western that you've seen kind of come to fruition?
Yeah, we do a lot. Obviously, you know, top outdoor school in the Southeast. I mean, of
Absolutely.
Course, you know. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to be a rafting guide for the university. And so I go on all of the orientation trips mm-hmm. and, well, you know, if I can, and I go, you know, random trips during the year, or Western Carolina Peaks trips. And so I get to go out on the river with students, and you get to have just a whole different type of conversation. You know, like when you're out there in the river, out there in nature, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I do teach here at Western. I teach a class called the Band of Brothers. Mm-hmm. That's one of our living learning communities. I also teach a class that's not quite as fun. It's for students on academic warning. So if you're listening to this podcast, don't take that class.
Take Band of Brothers.
Not take the academic warning class. That is not something that you should be aspiring to do. I've also been fortunate. We've really gotten a strong relationship going with the community table.
Mm-hmm.
And so on Fridays, my Band of Brothers class, we basically... they run the entire operation. You know, these are, you know, first-year students, and they are, you know, washing the dishes and plating the food and serving the drinks and waiting tables and doing all of the cleanup. It's pretty remarkable to see, and it's pretty nice to, you know, the university supports that, and it's really, I think, has been able to get them a lot of new volunteers, which has been great.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you just touched on really hits a lot with kind of our community creed and some of the things that if you've been at orientation or you're going through it or you're getting ready to go through it, you'll hear Dr. Miller and Phil and Kevin Kett all touch on kind of, you know, service, getting active outside of the classroom and doing things like that. So, and really the community table involvement just started kind of from one of your passion projects, right?
Yeah, it honestly just became something I kind of started doing with a friend of mine. You know, we started going kind of here and there, and then it turned into more regular thing, and then students found out about it, and they were like, well, can I go? And so I'm like, sure, you know, and so I'd take a student or two, and then it was three or four, and then it was five or six, and then it turned into this thing that's now a part of the curriculum or the, you know, the syllabus for Band of Brothers, and they're each required to do at least two shifts, possibly three. Still working on that for the fall.
Yeah.
But you know, they're required to do those shifts. And the great part about it is, you know, I ask for volunteers, and the next week in class when I ask for volunteers, the first ones to raise their hands are the ones that just went. I mean, because they literally enjoyed it so much. And it's been there have been some really, really powerful experiences that I've had there with students. That it's like, this is exactly why, you know, we do this and why I think it's important for our class to do this.
Mm-hmm. One of the neat things, kind of considering your love for Western, is that you didn't go to school at Western.
I knew he was going to.
I knew that was coming.
I couldn't pass that.
Can you believe it was Patrick and not me that brought it up?
No, I can't. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
You know, thinking about kind of your experiences when you were in school to now, would you do it differently if you had the option, having spent so much time at Western?
That's putting a man on the spot.
So he still didn't say it. He
no,
didn't
he
say
did,
the
he
word.
He never said your undergraduate institute.
It's like the school that shall not be named. I was like,
no one could name it better than Brittany has in previous episodes.
Yeah, Brittany has thrown this institute. You can guess where we're going at. You can smell what the rock is.
Should I say it?
Might as well.
So I went to Appalachian State University. Yeah, I thought the roof might come in on me.
That's all right though. You've been here for.
Well, so I joke that I saw the light, mm-hmm. and I came to Cullowhee. That's what led me, you know, the light, and I saw the error of my ways, and I came to Western, and I've been working here ever since. And well, you know, it's hard being 100% honest. I mean, I did have a great undergraduate experience. I was definitely very fortunate. But also, I mean. Yeah, I was there for 6 years, and I'm here going on 14. So what does that tell you?
We win.
Win.
Yeah. Send the jug back over here. We'll call it the Brian Boyer Memorial Jug, and we'll keep it until you go back there, which you better not.
It truly was like, I mean, it's a long, it was literally like almost by accident that I went to Appalachian. Like I did not have, I mean, it was just kind of random how it happened. And again, good experiences, but I'm definitely extremely happy to be where I am. And I do not actually even wear anything related to Appalachian anymore. I learned that lesson.
Did I give you too much grief when I was a student?
It was before you were a student. I mean, I wore an App shirt one time. And
that would have been my group of
It was bad. It was really bad. And so I said, okay, never again. So I have not.
And you know, now that's one of the things that Dr. Miller loves calling students out on, especially during the welcome session and orientation, mm-hmm. if they make
convocation.
A mistake.
Yeah.
Convocation.
Absolutely.
He is quick to call you out and offer you a change of clothes once you finish.
Absolutely. It's all done out of love and fun, though. It's a good rivalry, and no matter where you end up in the UNC system, you're going to get a great, great education. So now that we've covered our PR basis.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
More Appalachian hate after this. No, I'm just kidding. But so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Brian, is the Band of Brothers course. You talked a little bit about it and how community table plays in, but that is also kind of your brainchild. And can you walk us through a little bit about that? Because I think it really, you know, from an outsider's perspective, it not only was pretty unique when you first kind of thought of it and implemented it, but it also really was a Kickstarter, it seemed like, for a lot of other student learning communities on campus and potentially ushering in kind of the era of the living and learning community itself here at Western.
Yeah, I mean, it really was born out of what we kind of identified as a need. You know, it dates back to, you know, you mentioned Western Carolina Peaks starting in 2007. And when we began to, you know, kind of set up that, you know, the structure for Western Carolina Peaks, we brought a, you know, John Gardner is pretty much in my field. He is like the person that you have to talk to when it comes to freshmen. It's like this is the guru. And so we brought John Gardner on campus when we were starting the Peaks program. And I'll never forget it. You know, he was doing this campus-wide presentation. You know, many of my colleagues were there. And basically he was talking about how he felt that colleges were not doing a very good job. He talked about instances of violence, sexual assault, vandalism, just engagement being down. He was talking about this in male college students. And it was his theory that we weren't doing enough to help young men deal with their emotions, their stress, their anger. You know, they're living in a society where, you know, they're not supposed to express these things and it's not okay to cry and you have to man up. And, you know, it's all this that, you know, that's constantly, you know, that young men are being inundated with. And the course really tries to, it's ultimately a leadership class that is also, you know, a transition to college class, but it's through this lens of like, what does masculinity really mean? And what does that look like for you? And, you know, what is that, you know, we do a lot of, you know, talks about, you know, stereotypes about men in society and kind of breaking those down. And it's really about, you know, kind of finding yourself and, you know, who you want to be for your future.
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite things I've ever got to do as a grad student. I got to teach, and then again, as an RD, I got to teach. And then once I transitioned out of there with travel and everything else with admissions, it makes it a little hard to be able to go back and teach. But I remember it being a very rewarding experience as a teacher, because it wasn't around, Patrick, when we were students.
No, it wasn't. It had been needed if it had been around. Especially considering the group I was in school with, that could have been exciting class discussions.
There would have been tears.
Absolutely, yes. Probably tears by the instructor more than the
students. We pretty much had our own band of brothers in the residence hall. Absolutely. Without having to have a class. Because the neat thing when I started was there were no freshman residence halls.
Like, well, you say now. Neat.
well, you know, it was kind of a unique experience. My first roommate was a fifth-year senior.
Yep.
So that's not the type of experience that freshmen are having now by any means. And so, you know, one floor you have a lot of freshmen, next floor you'd have seniors or juniors, and it was really kind of that way all across campus. So it's not the same experience that students have today by any means.
Yeah, I always described it as like shotgun housing. It was like just pull the trigger and see where the pellets fly or the people land. And I think that our new program, I think Peaks has been awesome. And that's one of the reasons retention has really gone up. But it doesn't allow for some unique experiences like you mentioned, Patrick.
And, you know, kind of with that in mind, are there any things that you remember from when Josh and I were your students that you'd like to share? Because we've shared a lot of stories ourselves.
Well, another put him on the spot.
No, yeah, again, that's putting on the spot. Like, I just always remember, like, I wouldn't say that I was, I should put him on the spot now.
You should.
I wouldn't say that I've ever been the kind of person that was necessarily, like, looking for things like policy violations or things like that. But I'm not going to let things just.
That's fair.
Not going to let things just, you know, slide. You know what I mean? And you guys always seem to be up to something, but nothing could ever be, like, seen or, like, it was just, like, sketchy.
You mean their illegal business they were running out of the door?
That's probably what was going on. Like, but it always, you know, you stop by the room or you walk in and everyone's just kind of looking at you, smiling, and you feel like you're the only one that doesn't get the joke. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of looking around like, yeah, okay, like there's something happening
like
right now.
Like our movie rental and concession stand business that we were running.
Yeah, see, now it all comes out.
If you happen to go back and listen to any old archived podcast episodes, Patrick has confessed to numerous policy violations while he was in Walker. So if you want to back charge him, favors, etc., then that's the guy you need to do. Because
although the fun one was, you know, because I worked on the dinner train for years, and it got to the point where you would meet me at the door before the rest of them knew that I was there to figure out what the meal was that night.
Oh yeah, we totally got the hookup. Absolutely. But yeah, like, I just remember, like, y'all were such a great group, but just always, just mischievous, something. I guess would be yes. The best way to, yeah. And Josh, honestly, I think my best memories of Josh are, so a lot of you probably didn't even know that Halo Racing exists, but there's a whole separate community out there for people that race on Halo, And
for those who are curious, I was absolutely the best at being the worst Halo racer of all time.
I was getting ready to say, if you were the best, you have selective memory there.
The worst. I don't think I ever finished not last, unless I specifically ran somebody off the track.
Or somebody wrecked, or
Yeah. Last. I don't even think I finished, and we played with like 8 to 10 guys.
And we would play for hours. Yeah, we would. It was,
nerds.
No, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Yeah, it was definitely bad, but that's, yeah. Gosh, lots of stuff. I've known you guys for a long time.
But we also had the fun happening, I think it was like 2 or 3 years in a row, where the Duke Carolina basketball game, every year there was a fire alarm. Every year for about 3 years in a row.
Yep.
That'll get you on some people's lists.
Yeah, that was just one of the things that you just knew was going to happen. Yeah, absolutely.
So as we're kind of talking, I know connecting with students is super important to you. It's what you do best, I think. And so one of the things, how can students find you? How can students get in touch with you as they're coming? I know that they're going to meet you during their orientation sessions or during that first week, but is there a way folks can get in touch with you kind of as they're just finding out about Western?
Yeah, at orientation specifically, we give out these cards that has information on how you can contact the resident directors, the case managers, myself, and I give out my cell phone, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook, my email.
And this is like your real, and I want people to know, this is his real cell phone number, not like a work phone that he turns off at like 5 p.m. like I would do. I would never give out my real phone number to 2,100 18-year-olds. But it's your real legit, like if they call or if they text, it's your phone that you have on you all the time.
Yep. Got about 6,000 contacts. So yeah,
I didn't even know iPhones could hold 6,000 contacts.
Hit the max yet, so we know we're still within the max limit, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, if it's somebody that, is interested in Western or isn't coming to orientation, look me up on the directory. You can find my email. My cell phone number is on my Facebook, so find me on Facebook. And that's the thing about Western. I mean, there's so many great staff members here, that are just so incredibly accessible. The chancellor is, always out and about.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's not always been that way.
No, he just does such a great job with the students and, the dean of students and, vice chancellors and all and the professors. I mean, everybody is just so engaged with the students. And it really is, it's just such a pleasure to work here. But yeah, I mean, I am very easy to find and contact if anybody would like to do that.
Yeah, I'm surprised with your phone on silent. It's I wonder how many you've got just in the. I know it's your slow time, so it might not be as many as usual. But I anticipate like 10 to 12
to come in. 7 texts, and I have 21 Facebook notifications.
There it goes.
So, yeah.
Next question.
Uh-oh.
Of those Facebook notifications, do all 21 need to know how to print football tickets?
Oh, I knew you were gonna work that in. I knew that was coming. I'm not sure how many questions there are about football tickets. I'll have to look.
I always tell folks whenever they come for tours, etc., like this is his Facebook. Please tag him and say, how do I print football tickets? No, we're giving the students a little bit of a hard time because folks have a history in the Facebook group, which is great. And Veretta talked about the Peaks Facebook group.
Yep.
During our last show. For those who didn't listen to our last show or haven't had a chance yet, what is the Facebook group?
So it is WCU Residential Living Class of 2020. That's the new page. We're just sort of getting it up and rolling with orientation starting. We put a lot of information in there.
One of the things that Brian is really good, like you can... He'll respond, like if somebody puts a question, like you get all the notifications when somebody posts on the page
right.
and things like that. And you get back to him as quickly as you can. Like you said, you've got 28 notifications between text and Facebook.
So if all 2,000 incoming students would please ask the question, how do you improve football
tickets? It's going to happen. Like that's the sad, like that we're giving the student, giving Brian a hard time because one day back when I was an RD and I was on, I kind of helped supervise this page. It was the day before the first football game. And you had to print your football tickets to take it down there. And no less than 20 people not only asked the same question, like, in a row, even going so far as to reply to the comment that was asking about printing football tickets. And they've decided that the best way to get Brian's attention is to tag him, I guess, because it sends a double notification or whatever. And so we log in, and Brian goes, "You will not believe this." He shows me phone. You had like 100 notifications.
My phone was just
and
going
literally all of
nuts.
Them were asking football tickets. How do I print football tickets? Like, what do I do? And so that's been our thing now.
I am happy to say that we have definitely done a better job at not only with athletics, but in this particular instance, we've definitely done a better job at partnering with athletics. And, you know, they get us information. We post their information. But we've also done a really, you know, one of the things that, and you know and love Laura Allison.
I do love Laura.
Laura has, you know, she's really, I think, one of the people most, responsible for Peaks, and it's growing. And, you know, she's been running Peaks for years. But she's done a really great job of, strengthening our, our collaboration and our relationship with some, campus partners, and they get us a lot of information that we're able to post on the group. So I think we've gotten a lot better at it.
Good, good.
I think we've gotten much better at it.
Because I know that if I just it was wild how many people could only think to ask one person. It was like there was no other person on campus who could answer this question except for you.
I'm just going to tag you in all that this
year.
Yeah,
please do.
That's the goal.
Well, and you know, Brian, you've been on the WCU bucket list since it originated as well. You've had the unique distinction to be on there. The only person mentioned other than Paul's and the Chancellor on the bucket list.
That's a pretty good trio.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty crazy. I mean, definitely, again, just so incredibly fortunate. And if I understand right, I mean, I think that came from student, the student suggestions that they wanted it on the bucket list, and so that's kind of why I was okay with it. And you know, I mean, I think it's great. It's very humbling, and it's definitely been. It's for me, it's been a great way to meet even more students. They come up to me and say, aren't you on the bucket list? And, so that's been pretty great.
And we also have to ask too, because, you've done some world traveling and, what are some places that you've been to over the last year?
Yeah. I've, as far as like when you're talking about, outside of the country, I got to spend, a couple of weeks in Monaco, and I got to go to Italy and France, and was able to connect with like five different Western students while I was over there. Like,
which is wild.
Which is just amazing. I was able to, and then we were sitting in, I can't remember the name of it. It was a place in France, and we're sitting there having dinner, and I hear these people talking at the table next to me, and I'm thinking they sound very similar to like what I'm used to hearing people sound like. And I kind of lean over and ask where they're from, and they're from North Carolina, and the girl I was talking to, her twin brother goes to Western. So, I mean, I was like, "You've got to be kidding me!"
these people find you.
No, I mean,
it's almost like you're like a beacon wherever you go.
Unbelievable.
You're always telling stories about.
Can't take him anywhere.
Yeah, you're always telling stories about like you're out like getting a new car, and you happen to bump into somebody who is like an alumni or has a student here or something like that. And then my favorite is I'll randomly get a text message that's like, "Hey, I just met this student at this restaurant in Greensboro or in Columbia or wherever the NASCAR race is that week."
Oh, I'm real bad.
I'm in Pensacola, and I noticed that I saw these kids and told them about Western. So,
I'm really bad about recruiting. Like, I mean, I remember one time I was with my mom at the grocery store, and she was just kind of rolling her eyes because I was giving my card to the young man that was bagging our groceries, and I was talking to him about Western and what he wanted to major in. And yeah, I fly in, I go into recruitment mode a lot of times, and I'm like, "Well, hey, Western's got a really great program in this," or or I'll text you and say, "Hey, so this is what, the SAT scores are for this for this student. What do you think about their chances of getting?" I mean, it's just funny.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what they say? It's like all the good football coaches say, ABC, always be cruttin'. So you got to do it. Always be cruttin'.
That's awesome.
When, if you hadn't made it as an RD, then you could have always just come to admissions and worked in admissions.
Well, it's going to say you probably are like the fifth or sixth highest volume recruiter that we have outside of the Office of Admission. Probably number one recruiter for Western, even more so than our coaches, I imagine. A lot of kids that you're talking to and bringing.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of it's just, again, I mean, there's just so many great things going on around here. And when you're happy, and when, like I said, I mean, as much as I love my job, love my life, love where I am, you want to share that with people, and you want people to, to get some of that experience. And, both of it's a special place.
Yeah, and I can't let you get out. We've talked about NASCAR. This is your thing. So we want to let you talk a little bit about NASCAR. I was hoping you would anyway. Number of races. Okay. Now, I did know that number, but it has changed. And then I know the favorite driver, but talk a little bit about your foray into NASCAR.
Yeah, I have been to 115 NASCAR races, and I've been to 13 or 14 different tracks. And, you know, everybody's like, how do you know how many races you've been to? And
an app on your phone.
I had been to like 30 or 40 or so, like I realized that I'm going to be going to a lot of these. Like, I'm just going to keep track. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I kind of went back and counted all the races that I'd been to, and now I've been keeping track ever since. And my goal is eventually to go to every single track in the country.
How many do you have left that are on the active circuit?
I think around 9 that I haven't been to yet.
Probably all West Coast, I imagine.
Surprisingly, the one that is really close to us that I haven't been to yet is Talladega.
Okay.
But I'm planning on crossing that off the list, hopefully in October. October 23rd is...
Maybe Chase will pull out a win for you that day.
Oh, that would be...
spoiler.
So now, yep, definitely, Bill Elliott was
I'm kind of pulling for Earnhardt that day because that is my birthday on October 23rd. So,
is it really?
So I'm pulling for Earnhardt to pull out a win on his dad's favorite track.
If I'm there, I hope that doesn't happen. But I was a big Bill Elliott fan. He was he is my childhood hero. And, you know, I've been a fan ever since I was about, 7 years old, and followed him, through his, entire career after that point. And so now, I'm a Chase Elliott fan, big time.
Continue the legacy.
Yep, absolutely. And he's doing incredibly well. So yeah.
You're getting old when you're like, oh, I loved his dad, so he's going to be my new favorite.
right. And there's not many things that, like, I actually, like, I work a lot.
All the time, yeah.
There's not many things that, make me eager to step away, but when it comes to NASCAR, like, yeah, I can take a break.
That'll get you off campus.
I can take a break for a NASCAR race, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Brian, as we wrap down the show, we've talked a lot about kind of the residential case manager duties, some of the unique kind of things that you've implemented during your time here. Is there anything that we haven't asked you that you would want incoming students to know about you or your job or kind of your thoughts about Western?
I think that I would just say, I think the students that are hopefully that are here now, are really happy to be here and happy to be at Catamount and part of the community. And to the students that are, on their way through orientation, I think you've made a great choice. I really look forward to, to interacting with all the new students and getting to know them even better. I think one of the things that I would share that I don't know why this just popped into my head, but I shared this recently and at an orientation with parents, and some parents came up to me and thanked me. I think if there are any people that are listening to this, podcast that are getting ready to go through this transition of sending their students off to school, whether you're the student about to go off to school or you're the parent, I told this story. I get this text on move-in day. This was years ago. This was a few years ago. And basically it was a student that said, can you talk? Where are you? And so I met up with a student. The student was very emotional. First day, pretty overwhelmed, sat down, we're sitting on the sidewalk and I'm talking to this student and he's talking about basically how surprised he is about how much he's going to miss his mom. And he didn't really expect that. And, his mom and dad had just left and he was really upset. And it finally got him kind of calmed down. And all of a sudden his phone rings and I look over and it's his mom. And he picks up the phone and he's like, "What do you want? Why are you bothering me? Like, you can't keep calling me." He hangs up, looks at me, and he's like, "I'm going to miss her so much," and bursts into tears. And so, I was trying so hard.
You tried to be like, what's wrong with you?
I was trying not to laugh because this was the most ridiculous situation. But I end up thinking, like, I felt really bad for that mom. Because that mom's probably thinking, my son hates me, and my son is really happy to be out of the house. And that wasn't the case at all. And so, this was a student that just did not know how to, was having a hard time letting go. And right. So I would say that if you're listening to this podcast and you're kind of getting ready to go through that process, talk about it, and don't be afraid to express how you're feeling. Also, maybe kind of give each other a little bit of grace and understand that, you know, sometimes I hate you, get out of my face, might be I love you, and I'm going to miss you. And I think people just have a very different way of, you know, kind of saying goodbye and, you know, things like that. I just think it's important to think about that. That story has stuck with me ever since that happened. I mean, it's just interesting to think about, you know, what students are kind of experiencing when they transition and what's really going on in their minds.
Well, that's like, it's been about 3 or 4 years ago now. Family pulls up to Scott Residence Hall. Mom and dad don't get out of the car. Son gets out. Everything gets unloaded. Doors are shut. And then dad turns and said, "See you in 4 years." And they drove off. And the student was just kind of there. And thankfully, the welcome team staff kind of took him under their wing and helped him get settled in. But, help support the students as they're coming in.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And it's like you said with the Brandon Brothers, like it's one of those things that sometimes these kiddos don't know how to express themselves emotionally. And that's kind of what that class, hopefully, I'm sure you recruited that kid into Band of Brothers.
He actually was in the class. He was already in the class though. Kind of funny, but no, I mean, I just think that, you know, it's an important part of their transition, and I think it's something that families should talk about and, you know, kind of be honest about how they're feeling and, you know, kind of help each other through it.
Yeah, there's one person in this room who's not down with that, and that's Brittany. No emotions, right, Brittany? The emotions are bad.
Anti-emotion.
It's scary. She needs to go through Band of Brothers, actually. I'm going to send her to your class.
That could be arranged. Do you want to smash some plates?
Always want to smash some plates. Well, Brian, thank you very much for joining us. We would love to have you back again in the future. Hopefully, you know, I know that the first week or two of campus is, or of the semester is insane for you and Veretta, but if you guys have any programs or anything you want to share with us or our listeners, we'd love to have you on to talk about anything that you guys have going on in the future and just to chat in general, because of course, you're one of our favorite people on campus. In fact, I think you might have been number two or essentially right behind the chancellor for people to know on campus on an earlier podcast.
Maybe we'll have to go back and dive into the pot and dive into the campus.
That was last September.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
So we
shows who's not listening to the podcast.
we love you and we want you to come back because we enjoy hanging out with you. So we appreciate you taking time to join us today.
No, I really appreciate it. Maybe I'll come and do a tutorial on how to print football tickets.
That would be great. I'm going to book a 1.5 hour session so we can go through every excruciating detail.
That would work. No, seriously.
It'd be right there with our podcast on the steps for your application process.
Ooh, that was brutal. Episode number one.
Yeah, no, I really do appreciate it, though. And nothing makes me happier than seeing former students, you know, do the kind of stuff that you guys are doing now. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you guys have, you know, really contributed a lot to Western and makes me proud. So anyway,
think we're the ones admitting your future students that you're working with.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, you should be a little, with Patrick anyway, you should be a little concerned.
slightly. No, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate Brian joining us. For Brian Boyer, for Patrick Frazier, this is Josh Thompson. We thank you for joining us. Remember, you can connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter, and of course at podcasts.wcu.edu. We look forward to hearing from you soon, and we'll see you next week right here on the podcast. And as always, go Cats!